This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You could have had Patino. It's Friday. Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Chris in for Carl today. Chris Thomas in for the vacation. Carl Dukes having a blast out in Sin City because it's tournament time. Great time to be out in Vegas. Sportsbooks, gambling, chicks and guns and fire trucks and fun. So it's a play on like the Hangover.
You know? Yeah.
Hey, man. We start every hour of the show with a big hearty.
Hey, man.
How's your Friday, brother?
Listen. You couldn't have drawn up a more perfect day, Mike Bell. It is absolutely gorgeous outside. You take the little man out today?
I did. I had the little man out to the car wash. My dog loves the car wash. And so I had the picture today of him, and he's got basically his entire head and torso outside of the car on the drive, on the passenger side. And he's got his paws on the rear view, just going bananas. It's funny. Second time now I've had this happen. This time it was a state trooper down on the south side. Last time it was a Coweta sheriff's deputy. He was joking around. He was waving at the dog. He goes, "You better secure that load."
Yeah.
But anyway, Ike was having a good day. Hope you guys are having a good day. And tournament time, man. Yeah, I was talking about this at the end of the show yesterday. Thanks, everybody who rolled into Hooters. Today, we are in Buckhead. We are in Twin Peaks. Man, the best food, the best crew. Got beautiful babes who want to meet you. Well, most of you. Ice cold beer. So come on down and join the party. But we were talking about this at the end of the show off the air. And I said to Chris, you know what? I'm going to do one of those big Carl Dukes type pronouncements. You know, when Carl does it. I'm going to tell you this, you know, and he gets all serious, and because, you know, like he does on the national show.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what you do when you do the national show. Things I don't normally do, that's why I don't have a national show. But Carl does these big pronouncements. I'm going to make a quick pronouncement, and you can, and the audience is free to jump in on this. You look around the landscape of college basketball, men's basketball. It's used car salesmen. And for those who don't catch my drift, it's guys that are on the fringes of morality, okay? These are guys who do traffic in dirty deals. This is what John Calipari made a living everywhere he's been. We just saw a guy, Will Wade, win with McNeese. This was a guy that got penalized with a show cause penalty. This is a guy, I mean, the highest sanction you can get from the NC2A. He got involved in an FBI investigation. He lands on his feet at the NC State because he's a winning coach. Bruce Pearl had all his different things that happened to him along his time from small school on the horizon in, you know, Milwaukee to Tennessee and now to Auburn. The point I'm getting to, guys, is why does Georgia get holier than thou when it comes to coaching? I brought this up 2 years ago. You guys friggin' laughed at me. You said, oh, no, 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 I don't want to play that way. What way do you want to friggin' play? Rick Pitino's got his sixth team now in the tournament. And I look, yes, full disclosure, I'm a Pitino guy. Love his work, and I'm a big St. John's fan from the days of Big East. But the point I'm getting to is, you've got guys that are on the margins because that's men's basketball. It's always been icky. Chris, going to the Final Four, I've said this a million times. I went to my first Final Four in '98, '99, and it was a year that UConn won their first title, and that was my first experience seeing all the coaches walking around, all the meetings. It's like an episode of the freaking Sopranos. I mean, literally, the only thing missing, we saw Bob Huggins talking to Jerry Tarkanian. The only thing missing was an exchange of like a brown paper bag. You know what I mean? That's college men's basketball. So what's the point? Mike, what's the friggin' point? The point is, it's time for Georgia to get serious about their basketball program. Because Mike White was a discard. Mike White was going to get fired by Florida if he didn't find this job. And he was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing loss for Georgia. So all this hype, and I heard the soundbite. We'll play it later. Well, maybe Gonzaga, they probably maybe be need to be a higher. Really? That's going to be your argument? Gonzaga was incorrectly seeded? I just wish that Georgia would get as serious as Alabama, Auburn, everybody else in the SEC, everybody else in the ACC who doesn't have all these moral quandaries over bringing people in that have a past. All of college basketball has a past. John Wooden had a bag man. You can look it up. Everybody gets holier than thou when it comes to the basketball program. I want to see Georgia winning. I want to see Georgia do as good in football and basketball as they do in football. So that's my beef. And all you guys, I got receipts, by the way, from all you clowns who are saying, no way on Pitino. Yeah, where'd you want to be now? Pitino, by the way, was exonerated. As weird as it got, that last go-around in Louisville, if you've been watching the documentary, you can read up on it. There's Wikipedia for those who don't believe me. But anyway, that's my rant. Georgia, you could be doing a lot better if you had actually had the balls to go after a guy who's a proven winner. But no, you went with a retread, and now you got humiliated. The worst defeat of a major program in March Madness in the first round.
Yeah, Mike, you're 100% right. That was an embarrassment yesterday, and that was something that's going to stick with this Georgia program for a long time because this was supposed to be a building block year, a building block season, a season where you had not one but two stars on your team, one of which you're now probably going to lose to the draft, so you're going to rebuild around Silas Demary Jr., and what? Nothing. We saw it in the game yesterday, right, Mike. Nobody else was able to get anything going until late in the second half when it was already way too late. And Gonzaga was just coasting up 20 the entire second half. You put a dent in it, got it down to 15, and it never got lower than that.
Right.
You got undressed on national television, and that just shows me the state of the program. Yes, it was nice that you got into the tournament, but, Mike, let's not forget either. There was also a gigantic lull in the middle of the season as well. And there was a skid towards the end of the season where they lost a bunch of games, some of which they shouldn't have. This is a middling SEC program right now, and there's no reason that, as great as the University of Georgia is, that they should be anywhere near that.
Bingo. So Chris is on board with it. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Hey, man, we are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We will talk to our man, Bryant McFadden. Always great to see what he thinks. And now, guys, the big story in the NFL is, yes, Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh. So
yeah.
Now what happens?
I think they sign him.
Does he leave Pittsburgh today without a deal?
I wouldn't be surprised if we get news today that he's a Steeler. Because he's not going to Minnesota. We know that. Does he really want to go to the Giants?
That seems like another trip to the same type of situation he was just in with the Jets.
Yeah, so you go to the Steelers, you have a defense that's ready to win a Super Bowl. And now you plug him in on offense with some of the moves that they made, and I wouldn't be surprised if then they go all offense in the draft. And you're in a position right now, I know it's a tough division, Mike, but that team should be able to compete. And I don't think any of the other options, the Browns, the Giants, the Titans, you're not going to win with any of those teams. And he's 40 years old. He wants to win.
Get that bookend on the legacy, man. I mean, that's a team that can do something. I mean, we know what the Steelers – I mean, here's the thing. I said it yesterday. We think we know what the Steelers are. It was funny. I had a buddy of mine who's a big – I give a shout-out to Walt, who's a big Steelers fan, works for United Miller guy. Happy birthday, belated, by the way, to Walt. But he was listening. He goes, yeah, man, you're on point. He goes, Tomlin ain't Tomlin anymore. The Steelers don't win. They might go to the playoffs. They might not have losing records, but they don't do anything. You know, you're kind of in that same boat that Marvin Lewis was. I referenced that yesterday. Remember all those years in Cincinnati where they go to the playoffs, but never win anything.
Yeah, it was them and the Texans that played every single year on that first Saturday in the wild card game.
Right, and just that's where Pittsburgh is living, and that's not what Pittsburgh is supposed to be. I mean, you're supposed to be an elite. Green Bay, you're supposed to be an elite. Now, I believe in Jordan Love. I think they had a great coach in LaFleur, and I think they're certainly in a good place. But Pittsburgh, it's time to ramp it up, and it's time to maybe be a little desperate. And maybe swing for the fences with Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see what BMAC thinks about that. We certainly know how Ryan Clark feels about it and others. Some guys are lukewarm on the idea of, you messed up, Aaron, going to Pittsburgh. This hour of Dukes and Bell, guys, is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, that's PadleyBuys.com. Also coming up, our weekly visit with Steve Kunin with the Hawks. Did I hear right that Steph Curry might not be playing now for a while?
I think he has a pelvic issue, Mike Bell.
Yeah, oof, you don't want that.
Yeah, so I think most likely
he's going to be on the bottom.
Yeah, he's going to be out for Saturday's game, which it's kind of a double-edged sword because if you're going to the game, obviously you'd like to see Steph Curry play. But right. at the same time, for the Hawks, who have seemingly had a week off, you know, now they're going to be – it's a much better chance to take on just Jimmy Butler as opposed to Steph and Jimmy Butler.
Right, and then Jimmy Butler eventually goes back to Miami. I wonder if Pat Riley being in attendance, maybe that's the day to hit the beach when they come back down. But, yeah, we'll see the Hawks in action this Saturday, correct?
Yes, weekend, Saturday.
And the ladies are also playing today. No major upsets right now. Robert Morris was close for a minute, but now Alabama is starting to stretch their legs in that one. Baylor and Miss State, a classic 9-8 battle, which is pretty close. Iowa State over Lipscomb in a 3-14. They're handling their business, and we'll keep you up to speed. But yesterday, I thought the Arkansas upset of Kansas was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and now we're going to get the ultimate matchup that we've been talking about.
Yes, was it Bozzini or Tattaglia? No, was it Calipari or Pitino? So, yeah, you're going to get Rick Pitino and St. John's against Calipari.
I don't think it's going to be much of a game, though, to be honest.
Well, if Arkansas, like Arkansas, he's got athletes, you know. It was funny, even last night, I apologize for not knowing who the color commentator was on CBS, but as that game was winding down, they were saying, you got fouls to give. Let him get across the stripe and foul him. Don't let him get shots off. But Calipari, of course, brain farts into that, and they find a way to eke it out. Kansas went ice cold. Their best players went ice cold. I think Kansas had 1 3-point shot that dropped in the second half. I'm not a big fan of Bill Self either. He's a little icky, too. But it was kind of fun to watch, you know, Calipari at least advance. You've been following him on that Vice Sports documentary on Arkansas.
But to double down on your point, Mike, I'd take Bill Self at Georgia tomorrow because that dude knows how to win basketball.
He's not ready
games.
To leave Kansas. It's a down year for the Jayhawks. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, that's my mission statement today is let's get serious about this if you're Georgia. And then guys are going to say, well, they're not going to fire Mike White after a trip to the term. No, they won't. We'll have another year of ineptitude, have another year of mediocrity, and hope that he reloads through the transfer portal. Because there's no excuses. You don't get 3 years to build a program. You can go right now, if you've got the boosters and you've got the wherewithal, you go get your guys in here. Now, it would be nice in the state of Georgia to actually get, you know, some of the great players to actually stay in Georgia and go to school in Athens. They don't do that. You know, some do, but not many, certainly the last 20 years.
Another note from the tournament, Mike. It looks like they're going to try to give Cooper Flagg some minutes today. This I do not understand for the life of me. I don't care if he's rusty. I don't care if he needs to get his wind a little bit. You do not play him when he's coming off that injury versus number 16, Mount St. Mary's. You don't need him. You can win without him by 30. And putting him potentially on the floor to tweak that thing again, they're favored by 32.5, Mike Bell.
Right.
You don't need Cooper Flagg to play in this game.
No, man, Duke's going to have to pick their spot. Certainly you could argue, yes, he wants to play, said he's good to go. But I would be, again, get the lead, get some minutes, and then ice up, son, right? That's a smart play.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays, you know, the first quarter or the first half. But at the same time, I don't know. With the way he went down and how vital he is to that program and
right.
their chances of winning a title, I don't know why you risk it, but hey, John Shires gets paid the big bucks to make those moves.
We'll continue the conversation about Georgia. I want to get some phone calls, man.
Sure.
Unless you don't care. Like most Georgia fans who really, you know, they say they do, but they don't care. They don't care about the basketball program. Just be honest. If you don't care about the basketball program, just admit it. Say, Mike, you're right. I don't care about Georgia basketball. I love football. I'll go to a baseball game once in a while when I'm in Athens, but I really don't give a crap. I'd rather watch the Gym Dogs, and I can live with that. But they have created a great atmosphere. They put money into Stegman. When I got here, they called it Stegosaurus. You know, I mean, it was kind of just, you know, yeah. It's a nice facility. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes, you could always, you know, upgrade some things, but I think they've done a nice job with it. But, yeah, if you're a Georgia fan, if you don't care, that's fine. I mean, admit it. Then I'll stop talking about it. Hey, man, 404-726-0929. That's a little bit later this hour. Up next, though, our man, Brian McFadden, 2-time Super Bowl winner. Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. Is that a winning formula? Also, the other moves, and what does he think about the Falcons? And would anybody really trade for Kirk Cousins? They're playing the long game, but it's going to require a lot of guys really not getting the guy they want in the draft or in free agency or injuries, basically, right? And not happening anytime soon. See if Brian signs off on that next. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Dukesville. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, on a beautiful Friday here in Paradise, as we like to say. This is why you live in Atlanta. Man, yesterday, I don't know what that was yesterday, man. I got up this morning and walked the dog. It was still a little chilly, but it's turned into a nice weekend. Hope you guys have some cool plans, whether it's just sacking out outside if you got a TV or maybe on the couch or at your favorite sports bar like Twin Peaks and watching the tournament action. Joining us right now, though, we're going to talk some football. Our weekly visit with one of our favorite guests, BMAC, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, a proud member of the Seminoles when there was things to be proud about. He joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. BMAC, Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. How does that make you feel?
You know what? Considering the options, it makes me feel pretty good. Hopefully we can get something done because the only option we have outside of Aaron Rodgers in terms of a starting quarterback is Mason Rudolph and potentially going back down the road with Russell Wilson. I, for one, would welcome Aaron Rodgers, consider the other options, and hopefully we get some news from Aaron Rodgers sooner than later.
Do you think he would acquiesce to Mike T and the culture he has there, or do you think he'd still try to pull some of those same shenanigans he did with the Jets?
No, I think it's a different situation, Chris, than what Aaron Rodgers walked into in New York with the Jets. Let's keep it real. When Aaron Rodgers became a New York Jet, he had the biggest personality, the biggest character, the biggest, fame out of any other individual in that organization, including the head coach. But when he goes to Pittsburgh, number one, the foundation is already laid. You're talking about a organization, granted, they haven't had a lot of postseason success in most recent, but they got success. Mike Tomlin is a bigger personality than Aaron Rodgers in the NFL landscape. The brand is a bigger personality than Aaron Rodgers. So it's a different situation. You know, New York was trying to figure things out. Robert Saleh was trying to figure things out. Pittsburgh has already figured things out. Mike Tomlin has as well. So I think Aaron Rodgers walks into a situation knowing that, man, I'm not the biggest fish in the pond anymore.
I know that they love stability, BMAC, in Pittsburgh. It goes without saying, you know, from Chuck Knoll to obviously the Chin, and now with Bill Cowher, and then to Mike Tomlin. But it just seems like they're just not really going anywhere. You know what I mean? They're just not getting out of that first round. I mean, we know the record, and look, a lot of Falcon fans say, hell, I'll take 10-7 all day over where we've been living. But it seems like there maybe needs to be a sense of urgency with the Steelers this year to really go somewhere.
Yeah, the standard is a high standard year in and year out for Pittsburgh. But to your point, Mike, they haven't done anything relevant in postseason play. And for whatever excuses you want to make, you've been good enough to be good in the regular season, but you flatline in the postseason. So the sense of urgency has to be there. And you look at adding Aaron Rodgers, right now he's better than any other option. Now, will this get you over the hump? Most people would say no, because we feel like Aaron Rodgers – the great Aaron Rodgers is no longer there. Now, can he be more than a serviceable guy? The one bright spot, I'll say, Mike and Chris, is that the last month of the season with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, he played really, really good football. You know, they didn't win a lot of ball games, but if you look at his overall numbers throughout the entire season, they weren't bad. So most folks are hoping and thinking that, hey, maybe he can give the same thing that he did for the Jets in the latter months of the season in 2024 to start the entire season off if he becomes a Steeler.
All right, so here in Atlanta, you know the deal. We talk about it with you seemingly every week, B, but the latest is that teams may have been calling about Kirk, maybe as high as a third-round pick. Then we get conflicting reports that the Falcons are the ones doing the calling. Do you think, come week one, Kirk Cousins will actually be the backup quarterback here in Atlanta?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Listen, it doesn't make any sense. It won't make any sense. It won't. I don't care if someone is offering you a late round pick for Kirk Cousins. Move on. Move on. Because having him be a part of the Atlanta Falcons this year does more harm than good, in my opinion. Because clearly, Michael Penix is the guy. Regardless of what happens with Michael Penix, as long as he's healthy, he is the guy. That's why you drafted him with a top 10 pick a year ago. So just move on. Stop prolonging the process. You're holding on to something that's no longer there. So I believe that's the smart thing to do, and that actually will happen before the start of the season, because it doesn't make any sense to have a backup quarterback who's making north of $20 million, who wants to be a starter, being a part of your team, because eventually he can become a distraction without saying one word, just being on the roster.
Right. And we talked to Ovi Mihaly, another NFL veteran, who said the same thing. He says, weird juju in the locker room. You know, it just creates strange energy. And that's something, like I said, look, I understand the Falcons. You got to bluff and you play the long game and you hope somebody comes to you, maybe Cleveland. And here's the thing, B, the one saving grace is maybe we spend like 15, 17, I don't know. We're going to have to eat a big chunk of that thing just to get him out of here, but maybe we could buy a pick. And that, I guess that's all you could ask for. I think most Falcon fans want to see that pick be for this draft. It may just have to be for 26.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. Just whatever you can get, I don't care if it's a box of Kit Kats. I can care less. Take it and just move on.
Chatting with our buddy Bryant McFadden, co-host, All Things Covered podcast. Check him out, CBS HQ analyst as well. All right, B, the Falcons make a couple of other moves. They bring in Jordan Fuller at safety. We talked to somebody yesterday out of Charlotte who said he was just a guy here, but then you look at the back of the football card in L.A., seemed to gel well with Raheem. Do you think he is a starting caliber player for the Falcons?
I think he can be. To your point, he had really, really good success playing under Coach Raheem for the Rams, and something just didn't click well with him with the Carolina Panthers. I do believe, though, I'll say this, you know, adding Jordan Fuller just adds more depth to an area where you need to improve on, in my opinion. So I think they still need to draft a safety. They need to try to add more talent, depending on what happens. If you look at this board of safeties, it's a talented group in the draft. Of course, you know, Nick Emenwori is my top guy. I think he's probably one of the best defensive backs, forget safety or corner, that's available. But you look at the second and third round, fourth round type value, there's still value there. But I think right now, you know, Coach Raheem is thinking that he can revitalize Fuller to be the player that he became while playing for the Rams, and that's why he went out and made that move.
It is our man, Bryant McFadden. Guys, we're bouncing around the NFL as we're live from Twin Peaks here in Buckhead. Yeah, man, I know it's going to be an exciting year. I mean, everybody's loaded up. Some teams, like I think the Commanders, I mean, we always get they won the offseason. Well, they're already a good team, but Commanders made some moves. I think, you know, Ravens got to beef up the defense. Everybody's chasing the Chiefs. And in the Chiefs, they fixed their O-line. That's the thing, B. I think in the AFC, I don't know how people just expect the Chiefs to fall off the planet. I think they're going to be right back in the mix next year.
No question. When you got 15, you're going to be right back in the mix. You know what I mean? They went to the Super Bowl. And what people are forgetting about is that Kansas City made it to the Super Bowl, and throughout the entire season, they played without their wide receiver one and wide receiver two. And they played without those guys, both missing time pretty much the majority of the season when you talk about losing Rashee Rice and losing Hollywood Brown. How many offenses could be able to weather that storm in the National Football League, losing both wide receiver one and wide receiver two? Think about what Philadelphia. Think about if Philly lost A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they both missed time at the same time. And we're talking about more than eight games. Think about what that offense would have looked like. Granted, you still had Saquon Barkley, but clearly it would have been a drop-off. All the Chiefs did was find different ways to win ball games. Now they're starting to stockpile talent, you know, getting healthier. So, yeah, you cannot turn your back on Kansas City as long as they have Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, and you can't forget about Steve Spagnuolo.
Where do you have right now Shadur and Cam Ward going in the draft, B?
I think, you know, just based on everything that I've been hearing and watching and reading, I think Cam Ward would be the first quarterback to come off the board. I just did a mock draft a few days ago. I actually had Tennessee taking Cam Ward. They got to go get a quarterback. They have no quarterback. Abdul Carter is a very, very intriguing, enticing prospect. But you got to find a way to answer the most important question on your team, which is the quarterback. In that very same mock draft, I had the New York Giants selecting Shedeur Sanders at 3. Makes sense all in the world, especially if he's available. Even though you're trying to bring in a potential bridge veteran quarterback, it makes sense to go get Shedeur if he's available.
Hey, B-Mac, we were talking about this a few weeks ago about, you know, Travis Hunter and what team's going to get him and how conservative are they going to be using his amazing skills on both sides of the football. We went back and looked at it because Deion said, why would you keep the best on the bench? In an interview recently, Deion, his most receptions one year, we went back and looked it up. It was the Cowboys. It was 36 receptions in a season. So is that what you envision, like the most you'll see for a guy like Travis Hunter in the right offense?
I think we can see more than that. The thing about Travis Hunter, and I say this all the time,
when you look at offensive players, wide receivers don't play 100% of the snaps anyway. Think about it. In an NFL game, in a game in general, the only position groups that plays the entire snaps, right, especially they're healthy, is the offensive line. All five offensive linemen play every rep, the quarterback and the cornerbacks and the safeties. And linebackers based on packages. But when you look at wide receivers, they're coming in and out anyway. So if I'm the New England Patriots, and let's say, hypothetically speaking, they draft Travis Hunter, I will have Travis Hunter playing both ways. Because you're not going to play every snap, even if you're only playing one position. If you're only playing wide receiver, you're not going to play every snap anyway. But I will find a way to have snaps for him to be involved offensively and then make sure he's involved in the defense.
All right, B, when you look at the state of the NFC right now, do you feel like the 49ers are doing enough to get back in the mix, or are they going to be a team that has sort of let their window pass, especially after moving on from guys like Debo this offseason?
Chris, that window, I'm not saying the window is closed, but that window has passed, in my opinion, right? Kyle Shanahan, I want to say in a four-year span, you made it to two Super Bowls, you didn't win one. Those are missed opportunities. Now you look at the turnover in the roster, right? You're talking about a team that's already lost 11 out of the 22 starters from a year ago. Now, it's not a rebuild, but it's a turnover right on the roster. And now you're about to pay your rookie quarterback, who you've had at a bargain deal over the last two-plus years, right? Now you got to really be mindful in what you do in terms of the money, because the money will most of the money will be tied up in your young quarterback. And the only thing you have to show for everything that you've had, think about all the talent they had on their team over the last 2 years. It's just a Super Bowl appearance. And in both Super Bowl losses, we can't forget, Chris, they had a double-digit lead in both games.
Right.
So I'm not saying the window is closed, but in terms of what we've seen, it's almost like they missed their opportunity, in my opinion, because other teams now are really catching our attention. When we talk about the San Francisco 49ers in the last few years, anytime we talk about them in the NFC, we will always have them in what? The top one or the top two. Now when you look at other teams that we would consider getting ready for this season, San Francisco won't make the top one or top two. They won't make the top three, in my opinion.
Hey, B-Mac, before we cut you loose, man, I was joking around with Chris, I think it was yesterday's show, and I had some Florida State buddies of mine are all in the same boat. Should I renew my FSU season tickets for this year? Alabama's the first game.
Hey, don't you give up hope, Mike. Don't you do that. We had a rocky year, but don't you give up hope.
All right, man.
I believe we're bouncing back. I mean, think about it like this, Mike. The bar is set pretty low this year. We only won two games last year.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But the
this feels like
the
Jeff,
standard,
Jeff Bowden, Willie Taggart kind of Florida State for me, man. I don't know. I'm nervous in the service.
Yeah. But hopefully everything, we get this thing bouncing back, man. And we got some talented players coming in. And hopefully they can really make it work and be at their best. Because to your point, it was a long, long year for all us former Noles watching our Noles go to battle last year.
And you actually graduated. All right, brother. Have a great weekend, B. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you.
That's our man, Brian McFadden. Catch the podcast, All Things Covered. And his buddy, Patrick Peterson, one of the best out there. Chris is in for Carl today. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, man. Got a full house. Everybody's watching the tournament action. I will say this. Alabama, it's not a scare, but it's certainly closer than I think Tide fans would expect. We'll give you a look at the leaderboard in March Madness, give you the other headlines. Georgia dealing with more moving violations. It's all coming up. This hour of the show is brought to you by Padley. Hey, man, sell your home. Go to Padley. That's PadleyBuys.com. Hey, man, biggest upset special right now, another 5-12. Memphis is handling Colorado State, now up by 3. For a minute there, it was looking a little iffy for Penny. You're not losing to Colorado State, fool. Sorry, that was Penny. By the way, you know what I was on the other day? It's Chris and Mike, by the way. Chris is in for Carl. We're at Twin Peaks in Buckhead for March Madness. The 30 for 30 on the Magic was on the other
day. Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I had not seen that one in a million years, and I had forgotten about, you know, some of those moments where, I mean, oh, my. It's Shaq and Penny. It was worse than Shaq and Kobe. You know how, like, Shaq had the Reebok, Penny had Nike, and, of course, they created little Penny because Penny had no ego, so they created the ego and the trash-talking voice of Chris Rock for the puppet. And then Shaq does the Reebok where they have a mock Penny that he just knocks off the couch. You didn't think that was going to create something in the locker room?
No.
You know, and then Nick Anderson missing those free throws in game one. Anyway, I just it's funny because you remember, you're like, oh, yeah, that happened. Like, I never thought the Magic were going to beat the Rockets, but, I mean, getting skunked like that, and maybe if they win game one, it changes something. But, yeah, man, oh, it changed his whole vibe. He lost all his confidence, didn't even want to go to the stripe to shoot free throws. It's crazy.
That was one of those what could have been teams.
Right. And I love, you know, Dennis Scott, one of the greatest guys. I got a chance to work with Dennis at the old station, at the old 790, and then when I worked at Fox Sports, it was like 20 years ago. But 3 Diesel, what's up, baby? But, I mean, it's a fascinating documentary because, yeah, they could have locked it in. But Shaq, I got to be honest, I wonder if Shaq looks back at that and doesn't cringe at some of those things.
I don't think he cringes.
You don't think? You know, I mean, we all act a fool. Shaq did the fool. We all have our moments of immaturity. I didn't grow up. Well, some would say I still haven't grown up. I didn't grow up until I was 45-ish. But if you're Shaq, you got to watch that and go, I did that.
Yeah, I think when your ego, excuse me.
Shaq, you got Chris all choked up.
Yes. When your ego is as big as Shaq's and you've done as much as he has in his life.
Just water off your back.
Yeah. I bet you he couldn't even
give two flips.
Remember those games.
All right. All right, I'm just saying. It was just even watching it was like, ooh, ow, damn, son, you did that.
Well, it's funny though because if you really think about it, the Suns, the Magic, all these teams that really weren't ever able to have their moment in the sun, pun intended,
right.
Because of Michael. You think of all these teams in that era, the late 80s, early 90s, all the way on to 98. The franchise stopping that he did. Along his way to all those titles from, again, the Magic, the Sun. Think about everybody that they played in the finals that prevented them from having their own moment.
It is amazing, though. That's why sports is the number one TV show, because you never know the outcome, and there's always the great stories that develop and how you develop them. And I know I watch, like, you know, I sleep in. I can. But I get up 7:30, 8-ish, you know, because my wife lets me sleep in. But again, guys, it's my lifestyle. But when I watch some of these, like the Bears, one on the 85 Bears the other day.
Yeah.
And you know the story, but then there's the nuances of the story and the things like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Buddy Ryan. It was like basically two different teams. And the offense hated the defense and how they dissed Walter by not getting him a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But anyway, it was on my mind because I was watching that 30 for 30 on the Magic.
No, they're great. And if you ever want to just fill in some of the blanks, as you just said, to some of the greatest stories in sports, where you sit there and you wonder, all right, we all saw how it unfolded on the court, on the field, on the pitch, whatever.
Right.
But what was really going on with these guys?
Right, behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's the 30. That's why 30 for 30 is really
I had
good.
A chance to bartend at a few of the places the 86 Mets came into, and I can tell you, my God, that team didn't have cocaine to sink the Titanic, let alone an iceberg. But yeah, they kind of scratched the surface on that story, Once Upon a Time in Queens. I know that's like a four-parter. You could have really done that in about 2 hours. But anyway, there you go. There's my critique on the 30 for 30. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are live at Twin Peaks and Bucket. Time now for our daily download.
Story number one.
And the tournament, Iowa handling their business as a 3 seed. We mentioned that, for the most part, Memphis is a dogfight. Don't get it twisted. 3.5 minutes left. Memphis up by 2 now over Colorado State. Alabama, it's closer than I think Tide fans expected. The plucky Robert Morris down by 79-71, tied up ahead. We'll keep you up to speed on the rest of it. Of course, yesterday, story number one, the Dogs routed by Gonzaga. The turnovers were the story. Unbelievable how just unpoised Georgia was. And then where was Asa Newell? You know, he was busy. He was part of it. He turned it over twice in the first 3 minutes. But I think you and I talked about it watching the game yesterday. A lot of guys have commented on the text line. How do you not try to make him a big focal point? And just try to cool things. Let him dominate down low. Get some high-percentage shots. You know, I could not even remotely stand that game plan. And the game was over in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it just got...
Hell, the first 5 minutes.
Real honestly, Mike, because what was it, 21-3 at one point? I mean, honestly, it got to a point about midway through the first half.
It didn't get to 28-3, but it was actually 27-3.
Yeah, and then they just had to shoot. Like, that was the problem for Georgia. Like, they just had to try to shoot themselves back into the game, and that's not necessarily their game plan. Right. And as we mentioned earlier in the hour, their bench and their other starters besides Newell and Silas Samari Jr., they didn't do squat
They didn't do anything. You looked at Gonzaga. Their all five starters were nearing double digits by the middle of the second half. So you look at the overall even contributions that Gonzaga was able to make, and Georgia was basically saying, we got to funnel everything through our two guys because nobody else is doing anything.
Yeah, it was brutal. I'm looking at the first 5 minutes of the game. You see, you go turnover, turnover, turnover. I mean, it's just Asa Newell, turnover.
Yep.
Rebound, Asa Newell, turnover. Further down, Asa Newell, turnover.
10 in the first half.
Godfrey, right? Turnover. Yeah, I mean, literally everybody. Oh, my goodness. It's painful, man. Yeah, it's about as bad as it could be. Yes, it did get. I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah, it was actually 1.27-3.
Yeah,
that's the worst defeat. I mean, yes, if you are a directional school or a 15 seed, that's one thing. But this was the worst defeat by a big conference, and all the hype about the 14 teams getting in. Texas loses. Missouri loses last night.
Yep,
Drake.
I did not have that one either.
No one gives up about your brackets.
No one cares. But yeah, the SEC, for all of their regular season dominance, is not faring well in the tournament.
Yeah, and Asa Newell likely going to the NBA. Not a finished product. He wish he'd come back, but he won't, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Story number two, Falcons. What are they going to do?
Story number two.
Yeah, we were just talking about it, but let's hear from Albert Breer, who's pretty dialed in around the NFL. He's talking about some potential, spots for the Falcons. We'll take a listen.
I think a lot of it's going to just come down to where he winds up and to where Aaron Rodgers winds up. So if he winds up in Pittsburgh, then the Giants, I think, could be interested. If he winds up with the Giants, the Pittsburgh could be interested. I think Cleveland is going to wind up in the mix regardless at some level because of the connection to Kevin Stefanski that Kirk has. But, my guess would be that someone's going to get desperate enough to flip the Falcons a draft pick. And I think in that case, it works out for everybody because the Falcons get out from underneath at least part of the contract for this year. And I think that creates the cleanest situation for Michael Penix going into his second year.
I'm with you there. We just got to get him off the books. Carl's been on this from the jump. He thinks it'll be a post-June 1, which means you're not going to get anything for this year's draft class, so be it. But, yeah, there's just no way. You heard Brian McFadden. You heard Obi Mihaly. If you missed that conversation yesterday, Obi agrees. You just can't have Kirk in the locker room, guys. Maybe you don't understand the locker room dynamic. The stuff he pulled, it's just too much of a distraction.
Yeah, and I've been so surprised, by the way, Breer was on with the morning shift before we get a nasty gram from Squid.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was Bo and Tiff and Mike. I'm with Albert Breer.
So I think that, yeah, thanks.
Always listening, watching, judging.
I think that has been a downplayed aspect of this situation the entire time, Mike, because I've heard so many people just summarily dismiss everything that you just talked about. The locker room doesn't matter. The players don't matter. The emotions of the team doesn't matter. Making sure Michael Penix Jr. feels like this is his time to shine doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm like, how can you just sit there and dismiss all of that stuff as if it's not real, all for the justice of we're going to get one over on Kirk Cousins and we're not going to let him walk, or go to another team unless we like the deal.
Hey, one more nugget on the Falcons. If you missed our show yesterday, we spoke with Travis Hancock from our sister station. He covers the Panthers like Carl and I. He's got season tickets. He lives with that team. We were asking about Jordan Fuller, who played for Raheem Morris a couple years ago with the Rams last year in Carolina. Because is he going to be an impact guy? Is he just a guy? Take a listen.
No, he really didn't. And that was one of the problems. They tried Dane Jackson and Jordan Fuller, and they didn't really add a whole lot. So, yeah, I know that he came in with more of a reputation than he played with. So, yeah, we saw that signing. The only thing that I remembered of him doing was his mom sang the national anthem at a game late in the season, and he got scratched from the lineup for that game. So it was a very awkward. It was a bad time. Yeah, it was kind of like, this can't be good. So, he's a depth guy, and hopefully for you guys, he's better than he was here. But he was part of kind of a rotation in the secondary that they needed more of, and that's why they're trying to bulk up more in the secondary right now.
You don't want to hear that, Mike Bell.
Now, as we said yesterday, it's his opinion, but he does watch that team and covers that team the way you and me and Carl watch the Falcons.
Yeah, so basically, I thought, now this was just my opinion, when they signed him, because I liked him in L.A., and I knew he was hurt last year.
He's only 27.
Yeah, I was like, here's your starter.
And Mike Hughes was also damaged goods. This is part of Terry Fontenot's you know, rep and why he got hired here, knowing we were so slim as far as any cap space the first year, is he's really good, you know, trying to find diamonds in the rough. And Raheem does have familiarity with him. If he can stay healthy, he's still 27. You got something.
Yeah, and do I think now that this means that Malachi Starks and, you know, the other safety that I can't pronounce his name, he's going to be there? Yeah, I mean, I guess you could take him, Mike, but for me, I know we harp on this endlessly, and it needs to be because it's never happened in the entire time I've been here and basically once since you've been here. Just draft a damn edge rusher.
Right.
Like, that's really what it comes down to. I know there's been arguments made where if Malachi Starks and you move down, just take it.
Don't overthink it. And that's one of those things. Will McFadden tweeted out, covers the NFL. Falcons expressed an openness to trading back. So they put that nugget out there for teams that might be looking to move up. And that could be for a quarterback. That could be for the offensive line rush, which apparently is going to occur between 10 and 20. So that's good news to get out there. But I'm with Chris. Just take the best edge rusher. You know, trust your research. Trust your scouting. And just go get the best impactful guy right now. We'll talk more about the Falcons and more on what they may or may not be doing coming up in the 4th and 1. It's our daily download, guys, brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Thanks to Jeff and his staff. My wife got me on this great diet with, you know, cutting sugar and carbs. And thanks to the guys from ATL Live Well, my testosterone has helped me get in the gym and get thin and do the things I'm trying to do. See if it's right for you. Hey, man, one more story. Story number 3 about the Hawks.
Story number 3.
Yeah, they've been winning. They've been losing. They've been winning. They've been losing. I don't know. You're gonna see Draymond. You're gonna see Jimmy Buckets. You're just not gonna see Steph Curry because he's got issues with his pelvis,
groin area.
His groin, as Carl would say. Syllables in Texas, groin.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that's an automatic dub for the Hawks now.
No,
Warriors are still
not
a
by
good,
any stretch.
Warriors are still a good team.
In a dogfight in the West,
they are fighting. They need every single game. They're not gonna come into State Farm and take it easy, but it certainly helps. You would think it gives maybe a slight advantage to the Hawks, who, like Mike said, have been on their annual trip to the roller coaster ride that's been the last 4 seasons
right here
in Atlanta. But I think the one good thing coming into this game is they have had the time to rest, so maybe guys who have been a little nicked up and dinged up, you can see the Hawks at full strength, hopefully get a dub.
And again, if Trey's always dealing with the little injuries, like everyone is, this day part of the season, you had a nice little mini vacation as we've had college hoops, and now they play tomorrow. Steph Curry, by the way, pelvic contusion, so no structural damage. That was the story from ESPN today. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll take a look at the NFL and some storylines, including what Brian McFadden just said about, you know, how would Aaron Rodgers play in Pittsburgh? And where the heck is Kirk Cousins going to go? And do you want to trade down? And why did the food get served as I was on the radio? It's getting cold. These questions and more will be answered next on Dukes and Bell, live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead.